This is week number one, class number two of healing. All right, let's pick up here on page two. We were talking about that when Adam sinned to spiritual death, it set off a series of events in his body. The spiritual death began to work its way through his body. It somehow, in a way that I don't fully understand, but somehow it actually corrupted his gene structure, the DNA structure in his body. And his body was corrupted. That death began to filter through his body. Well, he lived to be 930 years old, but he died, and it was over. Now, this corruption and molecular degeneration was passed on to all of creation. Remember over there in Romans where it says that, you know, wherefore is by one man sin entered the world, and so death through sin. And remember the word world is talking about sum total of the material universe. Now turn back to Genesis chapter 1. Leave your place, leave a marker here in Romans because we will come back to it. But in Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1, or verse 26, God said, "Let us make man after our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. God blessed them. God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Replenish the earth. Subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, fowl of the air, over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." Now turn over to Psalm chapter 8. Psalm chapter 8. Just begin reading here in verse 1. It says, "O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger. When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon, the stars, which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." So again, you know, we've talked about this in the past very briefly. God creates, and he creates man. And he says, "Now man, I've created, and I'm giving you the dominion over the work of my hands. I made it, but now you're in charge." Now turn over to Romans chapter 8. And God gave him this dominion and authority prior to Adam's sin. Well, in Romans chapter 8, beginning in verse 18, it says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature..." Now, where it says the creature, that could have been more clearly translated as creation. "For the earnest expectation of creation waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God." Now, where it says waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, what that's talking about is, well, we'll read it here in a little bit where it talks about how that we're going to receive a glorified body. That's what it's talking about. Now, we could go off on this for quite a while, but you'll understand it a little bit more here in just a few moments. But that's what he's talking about. The creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. If creation were simply waiting for people to become born again, remember we found out in Scripture how that we get born again, we become the sons of God. Well, that's already happened. So this has to be talking about something that has not yet taken place yet. Not yet taken place yet, redundant. So it's creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. "For creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope." What's verse 20 saying? Verse 20 is telling us that creation was made subject to vanity. Now, if we paraphrase that, we can maybe put it like this. Creation was subjected to corruption. Not willingly. In other words, Creation wasn't saying, hey, we want to be destroyed. Hey, let's mess everything up. We want to be corrupted. It says creation was made corrupt, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Who was it that did the subjecting? Well, it was Adam. Because Adam had the dominion, when he made the choice to sin, that disobedience was passed on, or the result of that disobedience was passed on to everything he had dominion over. That's why it's talking about here, creation was made subject. We already know about man, because if you read earlier here in Romans, he's already talked about the sinful nature of man before Jesus. So here he's talking about creation, and he says, creation was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also, or creation itself also, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now look again in verse 21. Because creation itself also, that word also could have, you could put in addition to, or in conjunction with, or in the same manner. Creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Now where he says the glorious liberty of the children of God, he's making reference to who we become in Christ and what awaits us when it comes to the point of our final state of existence, our glorified body. He's saying creation also is going to be delivered into that same state of existence. Now, real briefly, think about what you've read in the New Testament. New heaven, new earth, all right? Remember, God says everything's going to be purged by fire there at the end. He promised He'd never do it by flood. But we see in the New Testament how there's going to be the burning. And anyway, we're not here to go into end time stuff. But He says, we know that creature or creation is going to be delivered from the bondage of corruption. Now, He's already told us who subjected creation to this bondage. Well, it was Adam, because of what Adam did. For we know, verse 22, that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to it, the redemption of our, what? Body. Not our spirit. Because that part has already taken place. We're waiting for the redemption of our body. You just got an answer right here when it concerns healing. Your body hasn't been redeemed yet. Your spirit has been redeemed. Now, we're going to draw the connection between all of this as we progress further in this teaching of healing. We won't get into it tonight. But I believe by the end of the night, you're going to catch on. So he's telling us in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23, that when it comes to non-human creation, or in other words, whatever's not a human, it also has been made subject to corruption. So the corruption that started with Adam in his human body, all right, that same corruption was also released into creation itself. Now see, again, please keep in mind, we do not know what it's like to live in a perfect world. We don't know what it's like to live in a Garden of Eden. We have no concept of perfection. All we know is degeneration and death all around us. That's all we know. Hey, you know when you go and you pick up that puppy, it's going to die. Correct? Now, we don't want to talk about that. We had our dog for 13 years and he died. Still tore me up. And I said, I don't want another pet. Well, now we've got a cat. Now, I know that cat's going to die someday. All right? Now, I like my cat. Don't get the wrong idea here. I like my cat. She's my buddy. But I know she's going to die. Well, why do I know that? All I have to do is read the Bible, and I know that cat's going to die someday. If I had a horse, I'd know the horse is going to die. And you know this? Same thing is in mechanical things. You know good and well your car is not going to run for a million miles. Well, actually, there was one car that did down in Louisiana. It was a Toyota. Anyway. Yeah, they had it on like David Letterman. The camera crew was in the car and filmed it as it clicked over to, you know, all zeros again. You know, it was a million miles. Anyhow, has nothing to do with healing. But you know when you buy a car, it's not going to last forever. You know what I'm saying? All right? So we see this degeneration in everything around us. Not just in us, but in everything around us. We see this degeneration. Now, because of what we see here in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 through 23, we can understand why creation exists the way it exists. Because of what happened with Adam. God said, I've created Adam, you're in charge. I've given you the dominion, and your responsibility is to subject it or to exercise your dominion and authority over what I've created. Adam sins. Because he sinned, death entered through sin. The sum total of the material universe has been corrupted by the power of sin and death. So now we see this degeneration. And I don't know about you, but I really get into, when I have the time, reading stuff about, you know, like Einstein, theory of relativity, light speed, I mean, all this kind of stuff. And you may not know it, but light is slowing down. Now, we're not talking about slow. Light is slowing down. And anyway, we won't get into all of that. But it's interesting reading if you're, you know, have a bent in that direction. But it is interesting reading. Nevertheless, knowing this, it explains why that many creatures now desire to kill and eat other animals and people. God did not create animals to chase you down and eat you. All right? I mean, we would have never had the movie Jaws if Adam had never sinned. Because sharks wouldn't be going around eating people. All right? You wouldn't have alligators eating people's poodles down in Florida. none of this would exist. Again, see, this is the kind of thing that we don't understand with our minds because we have never been exposed to this. We don't know what it's like. We have no concept of perfection. Many creatures now produce deadly venom. It was not God's desire when He created creatures, any kind of creature that has the ability to bite you and inject venom in you that will kill you or cause you to be very sick. God did not create things that way. You've got to understand that. He did not say, well, now let's see, what can I do with this thing here? Since I'm God and I know the beginning from the end, I know that Adam's going to call it a cobra. So, let's see. I think I'll put venom sacs in this cobra. Big, long, mean fangs. And whenever Adam gets near it, it's going to spit at him and try to bite him. But, you know, I won't let him get bitten. I'll protect him. But I'm going to create a killer cobra. And I'm going to create... It didn't happen that way. God did not create these creatures to do this. Besides, you go back and read in Genesis, and the Bible says that Adam named all the animals. God didn't. Adam named all the creatures. Now, it's kind of hard to name creatures if you're too afraid to get near them, or if they're trying to bite you and kill you. And many plants are now deadly, toxic, or intoxicating to humans. God did not create marijuana to be smoked. Now, those of you who used to be druggies, maybe you ate marijuana brownies. I mean, I've just heard of these things, all right? Whoa, man, I'm going to that church for communion. Yeah. Trust me, it's a great time. Everybody leaves happy. Turn over to Genesis. There are some plants, like mushrooms, some mushrooms you can eat, you'll die. There are some plants you eat, you can die. Like the Jimson weed. They didn't name that after me, all right? There are some plants you eat, you die. There are some you eat, you get high. There are some that you smoke, you get high. You know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But that's not the way God made it. You say, well, how do you know that, Brother Martin? Well, it's in the Bible, right here, Genesis chapter 1, verse 29. God said, behold, I have given you... What's that next word? Every. Herb bearing seed, which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. What's that tell us? It tells us, animals and man were vegetarians, and the plants didn't hurt them when they ate them. They did not make them sick. They did not produce poisons in their body. They did not get high and jump out in front of moving cars. None of that happened. Every plant, everything was safe, all right? But what's happened? Creation was corrupted because of what Adam did. Now you end up with things that you can't eat. Even though they fit this description, there are some things you can't eat because if you do, it will make you sick or it will kill you. That's not the way God designed it. But because of what Adam did, we have this corruption. And now you've got people that are eating things that shouldn't hurt them, but do hurt them. And the end result is we get messed up. You have plants that you know, sometimes people eat these things and they think they're doing themselves a favor. Yeah, how many of you know, you talk about, you know, herb stuff, you know, you can eat herbs and all, do you know you can overdose on good stuff too. And there are warnings about that. Well, it's not the way that God designed it. All creatures and plant life are in a constant state of degeneration. Trees only live so long. How many of you know there are certain flowers? You plant them this year, they die. You got to go buy more and plant them next year. And that's just the way it works. And the corruption has produced viruses and deadly germs. Now, please understand this. There were no viruses and deadly germs in the garden. But Brother Martin, there had to have been. How do you know that? Because there are today. God did not create viruses and deadly germs so that Adam would have to get booster shots every year. Are you with me? See, these are things that rarely get taught to us when it comes to the concept of sickness and disease. And there's a lot of misunderstanding about where is sickness coming from? Why did somebody get sick? Go back to Adam. Your answer is in Genesis. What happened back there? It set off a chain of events. That's why you end up with strains of sickness and disease that continually mutate. Have you heard about the new strain of pneumonia that is out? People have become sick. I don't know if anybody's died yet or not. People have died from it. This has just come out in the last few weeks. It's just been announced the last few weeks. A new strain. Well, where does this new strain come from? Right here in Genesis. Right here in Genesis. This corruption is causing these things to come about. You have all these different viruses that are out there. You have smallpox and all these. None of these things are something that God created. None of it did God bring about. It's a result of what happened when Adam sinned, and that sin released death to the very cellular level of everything that exists because Adam was given that dominion. So the moment that he sinned, it wasn't just him. It wasn't just Adam and Eve. It was everything that was created began this degeneration process. I mean, even if you do much reading in science, the stars, or what we would, well, our sun is a star. Everybody, you know that, right? Our sun is a star. Do you know the stars are dying? Some people maybe didn't know that. They say that our sun only has, what, 500,000 years left. The stars are dying. You say, well, how are they dying? Because their energy is being released, and eventually they're going to collapse. That's what, you know, a black hole? We're not getting into science tonight. But anyway, stuff's dying, all right? The degeneration process. When we understand that, we can come to a better understanding of what sickness and disease is all about. Cancer cells are mutations of cells that God created. God did not create cancer cells. God did not create the AIDS virus. God did not create these things. All of these things are in existence because of the mutations that began taking place back there in the garden. Now, this corruption and the DNA, the molecular degeneration that's passed down to all humans, it produces cancer, Alzheimer's, MD, MS, Down, sickle cell, and the list goes on and on and on. It all gets traced back to this degeneration that originated with Adam. It produces birth defects, dwarfism. See, it just aggravates me to know, don't you ever come around me and tell me that God made somebody deformed. Because I might get firm with you. Now, I won't hit you. God does not create people with deformities. He does not create people that have parts of their body missing and legs gone. I mean, you know, heard of. I remember one time when I was working at Kettering Hospital, the nurse in our department came and got me and says, come here, I want you to see something. And they were doing a CAT scan on a baby that was not very old at all, but it had no nose. I mean, it was just one big hole right here in the middle of its face. It had eyes, but just one big hole right here. There was nothing else there. And they were going to have to create a face for this baby. God didn't do that. Do you understand? God did not do that. He didn't do that. And these people that get on TV and they talk about things, you know, there was a, oh my gosh, I don't know if any of you in here saw this the other, about a month ago. There was a thing on one of those science cable stations or whatever. What was it? Discovery Channel. Yeah, it was on the Discovery Channel. And it was, when I first saw this, my mind is saying, is this Ripley's, Believe It or Not? No, I'm serious. When I first saw this, I thought, am I watching Ripley's, Believe It or Not? Because I couldn't, at first my mind rejected what I was watching because it was too abnormal. It was a human being with two heads. And what had happened was this. It was twins, but it was just one body, one set of arms, one set of legs, but there were two heads. And they were joined at the spine. There's no way they could be separated. Normally, when you have Siamese twins, it's like four arms, four legs, and they're joined somewhere, like the chest or the hip or something. It was one body, one human body, and there were two heads. The head on the right controlled the right half of the body, and the head on the left controlled the left half of the body. You should have seen it. They coordinated their running. They played. They were on the high school basketball team, and they were Christians. Or junior high. But they went to a Christian school, and they were on the basketball team. It showed them swimming, jumping off of a diving board. They were so coordinated in what they did. Now, I'm telling you, it looked like something out of a horror movie. Because it was just one body with two heads. And at the end of the program, you know, they ask them questions like, well, what if one of you wants to get up and the other wants to sleep in, like on a Saturday morning? And they say, well, you know, the one that wants to get up just stays in the bed till the other's ready to get up. I mean, it's just amazing. Well, anyway, at the end of the program, they were talking to these little girls. And, I mean, they were counted as one player on the basketball team. I mean, you would have to have seen this. It's just, I've never seen anything like it. Well, they were asking them at the end of the program, or they were saying, these are the questions that we're asked most often. And one of the questions was, how did you get this way, or why are you like this? And their answer was, God made us this way. And I wanted to reach through that screen and not choke them, but choke whoever told them that. God does not create deformities. If you want to know what God's plan is for creation, go back to Genesis and read it. Everything was perfect, and He said, it's very good. God does not create imperfections. God did not create eyes to degenerate to the point of needing corrective lenses. God did not create ears to degenerate to the point of needing hearing aids. God did not create teeth to rot and fall out. God did not create these things. But the body of Christ has rejected this understanding and accepted sickness, disease, and infirmities and actually given God the credit for it. If you just go back to the Bible and read God's Word, you know, take the traditions of man and throw them in the trash and read the Bible. Find out what God says about these things, and you're going to find out God does not create people sick, diseased, maimed, and deformed. This corruption, it produces mental defects. You ever heard of people that they run tests on them and they find out that, like, their brain isn't connected right? They were born with their brain, like, certain things not. You know, the brain's electrical and it can short circuit. Some people are born with a short-circuited brain. And you end up with people, you know, like, with mental problems. Okay? All right? There's corruption in this. This corruption, these mutations that have been passed down from Adam, produce the physical susceptibility to contract sickness. You ever known of some people that seem to be very susceptible to certain sicknesses a lot? Well, all right, another way to put it is your immune system is weakened, all right? Well, some people physically, because of this mutation passed down from Adam, some people are more susceptible to contracting the diseases, the viruses, the germs, things like that. All right, it goes back to this, what happened with Adam. It has impaired the body's ability to heal itself. How many of you know if you cut your arm, maybe a week or two later, depending on how deep the cut is, it's healed, right? Why is that? Well, here's why. Now get a hold of this. If you cut yourself, what's the first thing that happens? You bleed.
No, Brother Martin, I say, ouch.
You bleed. All right, now why is that? Now we're not going to go into it tonight. Remember what the Bible says, the life is in the blood? The blood is transporting life to a part of the body that has become incorrect. Simple way to put it. So you get cut, the blood rushes in. Some of the blood sacrifices itself. So what do you mean? It's what's called a scab. It coagulates. Some of the blood sacrifices itself. It transports oxygen and other nutrients so that the cells can begin reproducing at a rapid pace. And once the cells have reproduced properly, the cut is healed and the cells stop reproducing. If they were to continue to reproduce, you'd have this mound on your arm. You know what I'm saying? But the cells inherently have knowledge. They know to stop reproducing. Your body knows to stop reproducing once it's reached normal state again. But this degeneration has impaired the body's ability to heal itself. Now, please, just for a moment, let's just play what if. Let's go back to the Garden of Eden. Perfect body with absolutely no impairment for self-regeneration. What do you think it could have been like? It's possible. Again, we're playing what if because we don't have a clue. It's possible. Adam walks by a tree with a low-hanging branch and gets poked in the arm as he's walking, and that branch runs across his arm. And to us, the arm would be cut open. To him, it heals instantly as the branch is brushing across the arm and there is no injury. Brother Martin, this is science fiction. No. What have we already learned? We have already learned that no human alive knows what it's like to have a perfect body, and no biologist knows what it's like to study a perfect gene structure. We don't know what it would have been like. But because of what we see in the human body today, its ability to repair itself, we don't have a clue what it would have been like back then. We don't know how powerful the regeneration process could have been. I mean, here's a crazy one to think of. You know, something happens and Adam cuts his arm off. Boom, new arm. Now, that would have never happened. You know what I'm saying? But as we're letting our mind wander here, we've got to consider what the capacity of a non-fallen human body would be like. But we don't know that. Well, thank God for what the body can do today. Thank God for what regeneration it can do today to repair injuries and so forth. Now, the human body is in a continual state of degeneration. Now, look closely at this and listen. Not even divine healing or miracles will stop this. Now let that sink in. Not even divine healing or miracles will stop this. Now see, remember at the beginning of the course tonight, I told you how that a lot of things might come out that would be in opposition to a lot of what's taught about healing? We're going to see this in just a moment. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, or dead, that's what that means, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. So shall we ever be with the Lord. You can't ever be with the Lord if you're still dying. You see what I'm saying? You can't be with Him perpetually and permanently if you're still in a state of degeneration. But that doesn't happen until after the voice of the Lord, the archangel, dead in Christ, rise, and so forth. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Turn over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile, what? Body. Jesus is the one who is going to change. Now, this is all future tense. He is going to change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. So Philippians 3, 20 and 21. We see more about this. How that the day is coming when, let's just refer to it loosely like this. The final work of Jesus Christ, as far as we are concerned, is the changing of our vile body so that it will be like His glorious body. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And really, if you started reading in verse, we won't read beginning in verse 35, but it brings about a lot of continuity to the thought. So I would encourage you to do so. But just jump to verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on mortality. Now, immortality. Now, stop right there. Is he talking about your spirit or your body? Well, if your body's born again, that change is all, or your spirit, if your spirit's born again, that change has already taken place. He is talking about your physical constitution. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. What's he telling you? He's telling you that right now you live in a corrupted body. It is corrupted by corruption that started with Adam. And he says, however, that's going to change in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. There's going to be a miraculous work take place on the outside part of you that is parallel in nature to what took place on the inside of you when you were born again. Sin nature corrupted, sin nature removed, in its place life and nature of God, born again. But you haven't been born again on the outside yet. But he's saying that day is coming. And the dead in Christ are going to rise. Corruption shall put on incorruption. Mortal shall put on immortality. But that hasn't happened now. And I don't care how many healing lines you get into. I don't care how many miracles take place in your body. It is not going to stop the inevitable, which is your body has not yet been glorified. It is not yet incorruptible. It has not yet put on immortality. So it is still in a constant state of degeneration. So you can still thank God for healing and miracles. Gives you the opportunity to live out 120 years. But it does not cause your body to stop degenerating. There is, now turn over to John 11:26. There's no such thing as no dies. You say, what in the world? Look at 11:26. Jesus is talking and he says in John 11:26, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now we know what he's talking about, but here's the goofy thing. There is a doctrine in the body of Christ that says this verse means you will never die as long as you're on earth. Which is kind of an oxymoron. If you're not on earth, you must have died, right? So, you'll never die. And they say that the people, and when they're confronted with, well, yeah, but I happen to know that a member of your church died. Yeah, well, that's only because they stopped believing. That's how they get out of it. And they teach, I'm not making this up. Why would I stand here and make this up to you? After all the goofy stuff that we've heard before, you ought to just accept this. This is another one. There are people that teach this. And it's called no-dies. I mean, that's what people on the outside, they don't call themselves that, but that's what people on the outside call them. Oh, they're a member of the no-dies. You know, they say they're never going to die. They teach that. If you're born again and you believe in Jesus, then you won't die. And if you die, it means you stop believing. Very simple. No. That's not happening. Because if you just read the rest of the Bible, you find out you still are housed in a body that's degenerating and it's going to continue to degenerate. Whether you ever get sick, whether you ever have a disease, whether there's ever a virus. I mean, you could have what they call perfect health, which is a misnomer. You could have perfect health your entire life, but you're still going to die. Your body is degenerating. Your internal organs are degenerating. Did you know that every 7 years, every cell in your body is new? Over a 7 year period, the body regenerates every cell in your body. So right now, if you were to go back 7 years ago, all the cells in your body then have been replaced by cells that you're sitting with tonight.
Well, I didn't feel anything, Brother Martin.
No, you don't feel anything. You know one of the reasons you itch? One of the reasons. Dead cells. You know why they sell all that? Yeah, because you didn't take a bath. No, that stink. That's. You know why they sell all that exfoliating stuff in the stores? It's to get the dead cells off. You know what it is when you peel after a sunburn?
Dead skin.
Microwaved skin. That's what it is. So you are in a constant state of degeneration. And your body has been designed to regenerate itself. And it does the best that it can, but it's still degenerating. And the point comes to where the body says, I just can't do anymore. I've been around too long. It's over. You know, just go on to heaven and I'll lay down here in a hole in the ground and wait for that trumpet so that I can be changed and be like you. And sure enough, that's going to happen. Well, healing might be described as follows. An action which assists the human body to resist and reject anything that would accelerate the degeneration process and by which infirmities are corrected. Now, infirmities, we'll just call those, you know, birth defects or, you know, anything along where the human body is not normal in appearance and so forth. Or in function and action. But healing might be described as an action which assists the human body to resist and reject anything that would accelerate the degeneration process and by which infirmities are corrected. Now we can, that's a summarization of healing. Now, medical science is capable to a certain point. Now we all know that. The power of God, though, is capable at any point. Listen, if it weren't for medical science, there's a good chance every one of us in this room would already be dead. Just because of different things that maybe we've contracted over the years, whatever. If it weren't for medical science, we don't know what kind of condition we'd be in. So thank God for medical science. But God's power is capable when it comes to anything. You say, well... Help me understand this. If God's power is capable, then how come people are sick? Well, we're going to get into that later on. And why it is that Christians struggle with sickness on a continual basis. Why Christians lose, quote, lose healing. But God's power is capable at any point. Now, one of the reasons we know that is because, again, you go back to Genesis and you find out what God created. If God has the ability to create perfection with His power, then He has the ability with His power to restore that which has become imperfect. That's why you're going to get a glorified, perfect body, because the power of God can do that for you. But while you're here on earth, you have a non-glorified body. Nevertheless,
when it comes to sickness of any kind and infirmity of any kind, the power of God is capable of changing whatever is wrong in your body. But the degeneration process will not stop until you have been glorified and the corruptible has been made incorruptible and the mortal has put on immortality. The power of God is far superior to medical science, and the power of God can render medical science unnecessary. Now, boy, you can get off on a deep end on this one. And a lot of people have. Now, we'll get into this later on in the course, but let me make something very clear to you. Nothing in Scripture tells you not to go to a doctor. Nothing. It is not a sin to go to a doctor. Please, now see, if more Christians understood what we've shared tonight, you'd have fewer parents letting their children go through sickness and even dying, believing it's a sin to take their kids to a doctor. And every one of us in here probably have heard stories of this kind of thing happening. Again, the body is in a constant state of degeneration because of the corruption that started with Adam. We are susceptible to contracting the corrupted cells that became viruses and germs. And once those things have invaded, we'll just say, our body, those things begin to work to accelerate the degeneration process to bring death a lot sooner. Understanding that the body is in this constant state of degeneration should help you understand it's not wrong to go to the doctor. But you may not always be around a doctor. I mean, if God sends you out to the jungle somewhere, one thing you don't want to do is go visit some guy that's got horns coming out of his head, you know, shake rattles over you and all this other skulls hanging off of his hut. You might not want to visit that guy, other than to cast something out of him. Hallelujah. But you see what I'm saying? But the power of God can make medical science unnecessary. It won't stop the degeneration. What I mean by this, it is possible. Remember, beloved, I wish above all things you walk in health, prosper, you know, even as your soul prospers. It is possible to live in what people refer to as divine health, to where you just don't get sick, to where you don't contract these things. By walking in that, all right, I do not see anything in Scripture that indicates that Jesus was ever sick. If we believe that the power of God can accomplish anything, we have to come to the conclusion that the power of God can cause a manifestation of a correction of any condition in our body, no matter what that would be, a correction of something that is wrong. The power of God can cause a correction in your eyes so that you don't need corrective lenses anymore. The power of God can cause a correction in your ears so that you don't need to wear hearing aids. Okay, and we can go on down a list of, you know, name it. God's power can correct whatever it is that has been wrong. Now let's go ahead and take a break, come back, and then finish up for the evening.